program for you today, and I'm pleased to kick it all off right now. Let's go to the phones, where I'm pleased to welcome back to Business for Breakfast, Republican Senator for Colorado, Cory Gardner, rejoins us. Sir, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's always great to talk with you, and I appreciate the time. And, of course, there's no shortage of things that we can talk about. I do want to start by talking about an accolade that you received. You're apparently the fifth most bipartisan senator in the United States Senate. What in the world is going on with that? I mean, I thought reaching across the aisle was so passé.
Well, you know, you have a lot of people who try to characterize all of us in a way that shows we don't work together. But this is, I think, a sign that I care very deeply about making sure that we work together, we find common ground, and we find solutions. And it doesn't mean that you can no longer be a liberal or a conservative. It just means that you're trying to find a way to actually solve real problems. And to solve real problems in the United States Senate, you're going to have support from the other side of the aisle.
Yeah, for example, you just partnered up with Senator Michael Bennett once again for something called the Power Act.
That's right. You know, Michael Bennett and I have worked on a lot of legislation together, the Power Act, and working on issues of cybersecurity, making sure that people have the ability to coordinate with local governments, making sure that we have veterans who are able to be trained in renewable energy and other energy opportunities in our great the economy in Colorado. So we continue to do a number of things, including the Power Act, together.
Now, some folks have said that being bipartisan in Congress is not what it used to be because of the way in which things are with President Trump as president of the United States, and that being bipartisan is not something that you should actually be touting anymore, because whether you're left or you're right, you just need to stand your ground firmly. What do you say to that?
Well, look, I think the problem with Democrats today is I think a lot of people are saying that, but they did not say that under Barack Obama. So to me, that could be a pretty partisan excuse, and it's just something that I don't accept. I think we ought to work together, and we ought to find those ways to solve problems for our country. And as I said before, I mean, this doesn't mean that people can't be true to their beliefs. It just simply means that you're finding a way and solutions to get people on board with the ideas that you have.
For example, when it comes to bipartisanship, there was a vote earlier this week that had a very interesting breakdown. 57 senators voted no on the so-called Green New Deal, including three Democrats and one independent who caucuses with the Democrats, every Republican. So the bipartisanship was clearly on the no side, but then you had 43 Democrats who voted present, including the sponsor of the legislation, Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts. What happened there?
Well, you know, what's amazing about the Green New Deal is this is a actual bill that was introduced that was co-sponsored by presidential candidates and that had everybody on board with it. Now, what's amazing is the people who supported this bill, this is a quote from one of their supporters, said, "It was never created with the intention of passing." I have never introduced a bill that, oh, I'm just introducing it, I hope it never passes. I mean, that's just crazy. The fact that they would introduce a bill and then later claim that it has no intention of passing, and then to say that, oh, we need to lay out later what this is about. Well, it was made very clear what it was about through the frequently asked questions or answers that the congresswoman from New York provided. So you had people voting no because they know it's going to kill our economy and they know it's a socialist wish list. But then you had people voting present because apparently they were too embarrassed to vote for their own bill.
Well, they're saying it was just a political stunt on the part of Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, which I'm curious about, because usually wouldn't you like to have your legislation go to the floor?
Jimmy, I have never had a vote on one of my bills, my bill, that I would characterize as a sham vote or a stunt. I want votes on my bills. I want them to pass. That's why I introduce them. To introduce a bill, to then get a vote on your bill, and then to claim that it was a bluff or a stunt, that's pretty embarrassing.
One thing that's so striking is you have what's going on at the national level with the Green New Deal, Senator Cory Gardner. And right here in Colorado, we have sort of a green little deal on the plat if you will. And that is, we've got Senate Bill 181 trying to destroy the oil and gas industry. We've got numerous climate change-based regulations. I wonder what's going on here in Colorado where they're moving full speed ahead with this kind of stuff that can be really, really harmful to rural Colorado and to all other parts of Colorado. And yet, those at the national level seem to be, I don't know, maybe putting the brakes on some of this to some extent, except when they talk about it. What do you think is going on here on the Democratic side in Colorado and across the country?
Well, make no doubt about it. I mean, Colorado's Green New Deal and Senate Bill 181 will destroy jobs. It will hurt communities. It will hurt taxpayers because the severance taxes that come from oil and gas will no longer be available to build rural schools, to pave roads, to make our communities a better place. And this is very personal for me. It's very personal because I live in a community that, you know, it's agricultural jobs and maybe not many other kinds of jobs. But one of the industries we do have and did have, at least, was the oil and gas industry, where my high school classmates who may not have come back to that town because they needed other opportunities could come back to that hometown. They could find a good paying job. They could get a job with health insurance benefits that paid more than they ever imagined they could get back in that hometown. And so this bill that would try to – I don't understand what right it is of government to tell somebody that their job isn't good enough according to government standards and therefore they should work somewhere else. That's pretty arrogant.
Now, however, you have Democrats who are saying that if you oppose the Green New Deal at the national level, you oppose the policies that we're seeing rammed through the state legislature, that you are not taking climate change seriously enough or seriously at all. To what extent do you believe climate change is a key concern that needs to be addressed, and is there a better way?
Look, I think we've all voted, at least almost 99% of the Senate has voted to admit that climate change is real, that global industrial activity across the world has affected this and impacted this. And here's the bottom line, though. What I take real and seriously is socialism, and this lurch to socialism that the Green New Deal, which would guarantee government jobs, which would provide free health care, which would provide free education, which would mandate that every building in America be remodeled, cost trillions and trillions of dollars. I take that very seriously because that's exactly what they want to do. Now, what I also take seriously are finding ways to reduce the impact that development has on our environment, to reduce pollution. We have been able to do that through strong renewable energy in Colorado, whether that's wind and solar and geothermal opportunities and hydropower. But we can't do it in a way that destroys the economy. When people say that, I'm sorry, the government has determined that your job is no longer needed or desired, I think that's the wrong approach.
Well, and also, fracking technology has drastically improved to the point where we're now net exporters of oil and gas out into the rest of the world. And at the same time, carbon dioxide emissions overall, generally, year over year, have been on a downward trend, which is really encouraging. But I want to ask you about something else. I just released a video last night on the issue of student loan debt in America. Folks can go to my Twitter at Sang Center, Sang with an E, not an A, Center on Twitter, and find it there. But in it, I talk about a couple of different ways to address the student loan crisis, $1.5 trillion in student loan debt that has been amassed cumulatively across the country right now up to this point. And one of the things that I highlight is the Student Loan Repayment Acceleration Act that you introduced into Congress last October that I think could really help to provide an opportunity for student loan borrowers, folks who still have debt, myself included, to be able to pay back that debt more quickly. Tell us a little bit about that bill.
You know, we've got a couple of different student loan bills, and thank you very much for the work that you've done on it to highlight it. But one of these ideas, as you mentioned, was a bill that would allow I hear a couple of concerns, obviously, from employees who have student loans. They're very worried about how they're going to start a family, how they're going to save for retirement when they have these student loans they're paying off. From employers across Colorado, I hear about their need for a workforce. They just can't find the people to stay in work because the economy is so hot. And so this bill was an idea to allow a private sector, private sort of free market solution to student loan debt, where an employer would be able to pay their employee up to $10,000 toward that employee's student loan. the employer wouldn't have to pay a unemployment insurance tax or payroll tax on it at all, and the employee wouldn't have to collect or pay an income tax on that or pay a payroll tax on that. It would all go toward, as long as it went toward that student loan. So it's just one, and then, you know, so it gives the employee an incentive to stay with that employer, and it gives the employer a reason to give a benefit to an employee to keep them on board for a long time. So I think this is, or a longer time. So I think this is a market-based solution. We've got other ideas out there on student loans, expanding 529 opportunities, making them more useful for education, like internship programs and apprenticeship programs, and you know, because not everybody is one, you know, a four-year college degree isn't the right path for everybody.
Well, one other thing I would encourage you and everybody in the Senate to look back at is what was undone essentially in the 70s and codified in the 90s, which was the almost elimination of the ability to discharge student loan debt in bankruptcy. I think that that has removed risk to the lender and put a whole lot of borrowers that find themselves deeply in debt to the point of default in a situation that they can't really get out of. And I think that kind of relief is something to look into as well. But I want to ask you one more thing, maybe two, but we're just about out of time with you, Senator Cory Gardner, our guest. This week, the House of Representatives tried to override President Trump's veto of the National Emergency Declaration at the southern border. Of course, that attempt was a failure, as expected. It wasn't able to override the veto. Now, I know you voted in favor of supporting President Trump's resolution or effort here, so against the Democrats' resolution. I've been concerned about constitutional issues in terms of the Congress in the 1970s providing a deference that isn't necessarily in step with what the president should have constitutionally. And so I wasn't supportive and remain unsupportive of the national emergency resolution. But I'm curious your thoughts on that and where we go from here with the issue.
Well, the 1976 National Emergency Act makes it clear that the president does have the authority to declare an emergency for immigration purposes. And we do have a crisis on the border. Talking to our men and women in uniform who've been on the border, talking to our Border Patrol, talking to experts, we have a dramatic increase in people coming to the border. We have an alarming increase in the number of women and children who are being trafficked by coyotes, who are then being abandoned on the border or abused, assaulted along the way. There is a human trafficking crisis. There is a narco trafficking crisis that has to be addressed. And, you know, a year ago, Republicans and Democrats agreed. They provided $25 billion in border security funding. They provided fixes to DACA, fixes to the family migration issue. The intervening election that changed the majority in the House seems to have changed people's determination to consider it still a crisis. So I hope that politics can get put aside, that policy prevails, good policy prevails, and that's what I'm dedicated to.
Well, Senator Cory Gardner, a congressman, you haven't been a congressman
whatever
for several years now.
Or just plain Cory.
Just plain Cory. I like that. Well, the fifth most bipartisan senator in the United States Senate. Always great to check in with you. Thanks for the time this morning, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jimmy. Thank you.
All right. Once again, Senator Cory Gardner here on Business for Breakfast. We'll be back with Tony Mesilla. Some thoughts on this interview and more coming up.